I will always kiss the ring right after I buy it.
I'm in New York City.
Just do it.
New York City, and I'm as high as a skyscraper.
Oh my God, you guys, so good. We didn't do a couple of takes of this one because we're absolute pros. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. This is gonna be so chaotic. I can't believe you have more beverages than I do. I usually have a minimum of three, but I already had my decaf tea before you got here, so I couldn't do another. It would be my fourth.
Now this is gonna be lost on you, but on TikTok there was this jingle where this girl was like, "You gotta be a beverage goblin," and I forget how it goes, but it's so good. But yes, I have four beverages here. So because you need one that's serious, you need one for funsies, you need one for hydration.
Okay, so Paige Davis, who is a chump, which is known to Jeff Lewis Live people, it's a compliment. She's a guest on Jeff Lewis Live.
That's negging, and I don't like it.
No, it's not negging. It's actually a celebration of the finest of art.
Okay.
And so she has a holy trinity, but I forget what because it's like one is, I think, a glass of champs,
okay,
or maybe a glass of wine, and then an iced tea, and then a Diet Coke. Which I think is very smart, so that you're constantly trying beverages so you don't get too fucked up.
Yes, that is smart, actually. That's like they tell you, you know, do a beer than a water, beer than a water.
Well, we were talking about the fact that you guys, it's Andy's Girls. We were talking about the it's episode, I don't know. And welcome back, content creator.
I show up and I'm like, what are we going to talk about?
We don't know. Welcome back, content creator and host of the incredible, amazing new podcast, High and Low. Bravo, bravo, ducking, bravo, BBDB, back in the claw.
I love being here.
So tomorrow, my mom's in town.
Ooh.
For my birthday. I have three meals. Birthday's on Wednesday, big birthday.
Yeah.
Now I will be spiritually mid-20s plus, but I think I might just keep it at plus. Because it's spiritual.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because we know it's attached to reality. But anyway, so my mom is like very invested in me having a glass of kava, but I just really don't drink a lot. And sometimes with my like neuro stuff, I just get so I'm like very much, for lack of a better term, in my head. I get so nervous about triggering something that it takes away from like the pleasure of it. But I do think I'm going to have a glass of something. She's here tomorrow essentially to have lunch.
Yeah. I mean, have a sip, throw it over your shoulder. It's fine.
Right?
Yeah.
This is what I'm thinking. And it's like 1 o'clock. That's like early. And I'm such a grandma. I really am. I'm like, that's early in the day to have
not
a glass of champs. And it's going to be kava. Who are we kidding?
Yeah, it's fine.
I think it's going to be okay, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to drink it all. It's more about the cheers, the eye contact. You take a sip.
Meanwhile, like four glasses later.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
you could go with
maybe two
that'd be smart.
But then I have to kind of like refocus because I'm going to Palma tomorrow, which I highly recommend. It's like we have to go because we're both gluten free. They have and by so many, I mean like three, but excellent.
What's your favorite thing? What do you get there? Salmon.
So I choose between two. There is a cacio e pepe gluten-free ravioli. Mm.
Okay.
Like if we're ready to fuck it up with some dairy, it's good dairy.
I cannot.
You can't. So then
I cannot.
No. So then there's another one with gluten-free. It's a thick pasta. What kind of pasta is it? It's some kind of thick, long pasta.
Rigatoni.
No, bitch. What? I'm Italian. What the fuck? Thick, long pasta. And you think rigatoni? Long pasta? Rigatoni?
Oh,
get the fuck out of here.
You are triggered.
Are you kidding me?
You are triggered.
No, I think it's because Paige was talking about the fact that Craig didn't know what rigatoni was. And it was upsetting to me.
Get it out.
Nobody's perfect. Nobody's
right.
Perfect. That's the one thing he's done recently.
Better than a porn addiction or something, you know, if you had to choose.
Is that porn about me fucking up some pasta tomorrow?
Maybe.
I mean, like,
eating a real slow mukbang?
Amen.
Maybe.
So it's like some goddamn long pasta. Everything's homemade because chef's kiss.
Of course.
And it's with black truffle and mushroom, dairy-free and gluten-free.
Okay.
It's a pappardelle. It's a pappardelle.
Oh.
With mushroom and black truffle, and it will fuck your life off. And it has that umami. Because I always think I'm fancy when I talk about umami, and I don't know that I entirely know what I'm talking about when I say it.
You don't have to.
I don't have to. So I'm going to do, so I have to like pre-select in my head, and there's some a salad that I'm going to get, and this like fried artichoke dish, carcio.
Ooh.
Something, and they created it. It was created by Jews in Rome, except when I went to Rome for my like Jewish woman in Rome, gotta have the fried artichokes created here. wasn't as good as Wasn't as
good, huh?
Wasn't as good as it is in, the, in Greenwich Village. Yikes.
Tell them that next time you go.
To say
I went Rome? All the way to say I went all the way to Rome.
Oh yeah, I'll tell the people of Palma. Yeah. I'm not going to tell the people in Rome.
Oh no,
that would not That's be nice. Not so I don't want to be that kind of American. No. But I'll think it.
Yeah,
it was a little oily. Have to tell you. And I went to the place I think where it was created.
Wow,
I know, but I had a lovely meal.
They got cocky though. You get cocky. You let your guard down.
Or maybe it's just not that good. This maybe. Is what I'm saying about Roman food. Mm. I don't know. I don't want to create another crisis. I've already said too much.
Okay.
Honestly, I don't want to upset my community of Italians, although I am a pizza bagel. Like, I just don't want to dive into those waters. I really don't. But listen, BBDB, so happy you're here. Having some spiritual shams with you right now, also known as seltzer with Gatorade Zero, just a light orange touch.
Sounds nice.
And I feel like you haven't been here in a minute, but you have, in fact, been here in a minute. So I'm so thankful that you're back so that we can spend 17, 19, 34 hours talking about whatever the fuck.
However long the gummy lasts, really.
How long does the gummy last?
For me, a good long minute.
And it really does. I know we've talked so much about these gummies, but you know they're in the kitchen because I ordered them per your recommendation. I had a small amount of one and I just felt kind of wired.
It's so weird.
Because I got the one that's like putting a dog to sleep. Like not to sleep, but like for a little nap.
Which one? Pink?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. I haven't looked at it since the day I got it and I tried it. And I was like, this isn't for me. So it's just been sitting there in like kitchen purgatory.
You know, they hit everybody differently. And now just think of it as like you have party favors. People come over. You say, hey, you know, I got this thing.
Giving people a gummy.
What? Why?
Because I don't know what kind of, I'm not going to, the liability of that alone. I don't know how they're going to be impacted.
If you had a bottle of wine at your house and you gave somebody a bottle of wine.
No, that's not the same thing.
You don't think it's the same thing?
No, I think most people at this point know if they have a reaction
to
alcohol.
You wouldn't be giving it to like an 18-year-old.
No. But I just think in terms of gummies, people have such different reactions. Yeah. With alcohol, I think at this point, if you probably know if you're going to have a reaction to it and then hopefully abstain.
Yeah, but
something
I mean,
else.
Like, nobody's first time. Like when I go to my friend's house, I'm like, what kind you got?
But what's gummies going on? Are all different. They're not, you don't know exactly. I mean, because a gummy, I don't know.
It just depends on the milligrams and stuff. This is
that's true. This is a lot. This is science. This is us talking about science and math. This is my version of it.
There are strains.
So I have to say, I have been working through buying Beverly Hills. I'm now watching it in full.
Okay, I have a question. How many episodes are there and how many have aired?
10.
Are they all aired? They drop them all at once?
Dropped all at once.
God,
and it
that's
ends
stressful.
On a cliffhanger.
Okay.
And then it picks up, I think, end of summer maybe, but I actually don't know if that's true.
Okay, so they break it up. Okay.
They do break it up. It's honestly, it's a good show. Like, aside from the Umansky stuff, I'm very much into the personalities. Mm-hmm. I think it was edited well. I love the money. Mm-hmm. I love the mansions. Mm-hmm. Like, it's giving me a different version of a $1 million listing that's more character focused.
Interesting.
It's honestly really good. Like, whatever they figured out from season one, which I do think was like maybe kind of a flop to season two.
Yeah, season one wasn't that great for me. I watched it and I was just like, oh man, this is annoying.
Like, I'm genuinely confident that season two would have been enjoyable without Kyle Vimo, but like with the addition of Kyle Vimo, and I've watched the Kyle Vimo content now. Mm-hmm. So I'm now watching the full episodes. So I've seen what's in episode one. I've seen all of three. I've seen, so now I'm like at, I think around five. So I've seen one through five, which I watched today.
Wow.
Because light rain in New York and I shelter in place.
It's a chilly place.
Thank you. But I keep going back. Like when I knew that you were en route, I rewatched the big moments in episode 8 and episode 10. And they're just really it's just a lot.
Yeah.
I really think that people who are upset about what we saw and more importantly, didn't see on Housewives, I really think you're getting fed on Netflix. I hate to say it. It pains me, but they just did a very good job. They really did.
Because every time the camera goes on Mauricio, he just says it. It's like he's the Cliff's Notes.
Yes.
He's just like,
yes.
You know, the windmills weren't real. Like, we just get what the book was about. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, it just, we move on.
100%.
Where Kyle will just take us down random paths in like family circus.
She just doesn't want to go on the path. She says, we don't need to go on that path.
What path?
And Mauricio's like, where? Here's all the paths I'm going to go on. Yeah. I don't know if Kyle's
dating. Take my hand. Let's go together.
100%. He's like, I don't know if Kyle's dating Morgan. Mm-hmm. I haven't asked her. But if she is getting what she wants just in terms of a relationship and she feels like in whatever form, platonic or not, exactly. he's like, I have no problem with
it. So what we've all been saying, by the way, since, you know, we heard whatever rumors and stuff of matching rings and tattoos, was like, whatever that is, great. Glad you're happy. But just like, you know,
what's going on? Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah, let's acknowledge it.
So it is interesting, though, because there have been since that People leak went down in July 3rd, 2023, a day I will always remember.
Yes.
Since that went up and was published, there has been a conversation online, and this is no judgment, a safe space, where people felt like this was dropped by Kyle, this was dropped by Mo, this was maybe dropped by somebody in their camp because of filming, because of whatever else. And that has picked up a little bit since Buying Beverly Hills, since season two premiered. But I have to tell you, watching Kyle's reaction and Mauricio's reaction, at one point he starts crying.
Mm-hmm.
He's so upset and they really fucked it up. And like he then confirmed the separation to TMZ before the kids knew that.
I saw that.
And that was a fucking mess. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, and he's like, I thought Kyle told you, but like, wouldn't you confirm with your wife?
That's how much they're not talking.
Wouldn't you confirm? That's how much they're not talking. He's very clear on that several times. They're not, they have had essentially no conversations for 2 months because at one point, yeah, they get through all of this of like the news breaks in Aspen. Can you tell I'm hyped about this? I'm very hyped.
Now,
the news breaks in Aspen, and then it's a 3 month later conversation with three of the kids, no Portia, but everybody else. And they are just digging into him, and then he's sharing, and then he goes back to his office, and then he's sharing more there. You're going to be fed. But the important thing to me, if this is a sticking point for people, obviously just my opinion, you have every right to disagree, is that there is no way in fucking hell that he leaked that to people. There is no way in fucking hell that Kyle did. Because you can see on the faces of their kids and their individual faces that they fucked up because they hadn't told their kids about the separation yet. There is, you can say whatever you want about Kyle, Richards, Umansky, probably Richards again, and Maurice Umansky, but they are not going to fuck with their kids in that way for press. They're just not going to do it. Now, if you want to go down a conspiracy theory route of like, someone in their universe, maybe seemingly would have to be close to them doing that without their authorization, happy to go on that journey. But there is, to me, no way they leaked it.
Okay.
No fucking way. The man cried. And listen, I know with straight men's tears, sometimes when, especially because we know something happened.
A man's tears, what are they worth?
I just know that like if he's filming a reality TV, but it felt very honest and very vulnerable. And we love when men cry, by the way. We love when men do. Are vulnerable.
I'm just saying, I feel like, you know.
But it's not like he's doing it to cover something up.
Sure. And we can never know. And it doesn't seem like Mauricio would have any incentive to leak that whatsoever. Having said that, Face Reality 16, did you ever see her thread?
Shout out Eliza.
Yeah, she's amazing. She first noticed, as far as I know in the world, she's the first creator that I saw notice all of these things, similarities happening between Kyle and Morgan. And she started, you know, she put up a bunch of stories about it. She did a dive. I think it was over a weekend. It was over like 1 or 2 days.
This is like in July, right?
Yes. Okay. This is July 1st.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow.
And Kyle and Morgan watched her stories. And it was comparing the rings, the tattoos. And she just like...
Were they tagged in it?
No. They just saw it. It was like a big thing. Wow. It was a big boost. A lot of eyes were on it.
Really just watching guinea pigs.
So then she circles back after we find out about the People leak. Mm. And she's like, the People leak was like barely 48 hours after I posted my dive and they both looked at it.
But Kyle wouldn't have done that without telling your kids.
I don't know. I don't pretend
to know
them.
I don't know Morgan from... A hole in the wall. I don't know her from anything. Wish her the best. Everyone keeps telling me her music is amazing. I do plan to listen to it. I don't know Morgan. I am not standing up for Morgan. What I am saying is I genuinely do not believe Kyle would do that to her kids.
I don't know. I don't know what the motivation was. But, you know, if she saw the dive and thought that it was going to, you know, leak in a way that she couldn't control, I'm putting myself in all the possible scenarios here. Maybe she thought, well, this would be better to have it come out this way instead of like through, you know, creators online.
But don't you think that would have set off some weird dynamic with Kyle and Mo? Because he's vulnerable in this. And I'm not saying he's God's gift to husbands. Like,
no, but
we know he fucked up. He references that he fucked up.
Stable, kind, respectful relationship for a very long time.
Well, I don't know how you...
We don't know how they really operate, but they seem to have really genuinely cared for each other for a long time.
Something happened. He references it. And at one point in the conversation with the girls, he says, like, there is a reason that we haven't talked, but I'm not going to get into it. And I appreciate it. I honestly, listen, we don't know what happened. I think he fucked somebody, but like, we don't know what happened, but I appreciated his vulnerability in this. You can, I was very, very upset when I first started watching the clips, but now having seen hours and hours of Umansky content, I just really appreciated his clarity, even though a lot of what he says is muddled.
But at least it's acknowledgement, though.
It's
and that's
acknowledgement.
A thing that Kyle won't
I
do.
Appreciate the acknowledgement.
Yeah. Like, no, there is something over there in the corner. I see it too. Like, just at least say you see it. You know, Kyle won't do that. She'll just be like, huh, what? I don't want to talk about this.
Here's the thing that I'm going to say. And I think it's unfair, but I'm going to say it anyway. Because we're recording this late on a, I don't even know what day of the week it is.
We got to live.
It's a bajillion day.
Yes.
Is that I genuinely appreciate. I appreciate watching a man be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I really do. Even
yes,
though
we
I've,
all do.
I've written about this for the Daily Beast, men's vulnerability is viewed at this like much grander scale. They're rewarded much more than women are. Women are constantly penalized and weaponized or mocked for sharing vulnerable moments, or it's just frankly expected versus men where it's like, oh my God, you're crying. But I also appreciate it. You know, it's like it's a complicated gender political dynamic. All that being said, and I don't remember what it was that I was about to say because we're talking on Saturday night.
Because you appreciated seeing a man being vulnerable.
Here's the thing that I'm going to say, and it's complicated.
Okay.
And like, just go with me on this path. I don't think that you're going to need any convincing.
All right.
Knowing that he had a couple extra months to have some of those conversations toward the tail end of the series than what she had, because Beverly Hills picked up cameras. Like, buying Beverly Hills was filming. They didn't need to stop for any reason. They just fucking continued. I don't think that Kyle would have been as open as Mauricio was. If Beverly Hills picked up filming tomorrow, she's not going to be as open in filming those scenes with the kids as he is.
She's never going
to She's just not going to do it.
No, she's in this whole mindset on Beverly Hills, and it's been this way for a long time. And that's why I think the show really had a boost this year, because people were so excited and thought maybe Kyle is going to just be like a real, true, authentic Kyle like we used to see forever ago. But now she's turned into this. Everything is curated and cordoned off and boxed off. And she can, you know, you can tell that she has always communicated with her little clique, and like having 8.5 and say things while she's looking at a compact and giggling. It's all very plotted out. It doesn't feel authentic and real and natural to me when it comes to Kyle. So yeah, I agree. Mauricio is just sort of like being himself. And I don't know that we've seen that from Kyle a lot.
And maybe that's the issue in their marriage, is like his version of being himself just no longer worked for their dynamic of like just kind of shooting from the hip, but maybe not necessarily feeling the specific form of pressure that she does from the world of reality TV. And then him just kind of being a little bit out to lunch. I mean, there are conversations between him and the kids of like, why didn't you? How have you not fought for this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then at one point in a confessional, he's saying, you know what? I'm feeling now the way she felt 6 weeks ago of like, maybe let's not figure this out to be together anymore.
Yeah. And look, there are some flashback scenes. I forget who posted this. Maybe it was Bravo itself. But anyway, I think 8 years ago, he had started the agency. They were having lunch. She and two of the daughters were there. They're all having like salad and they're chewing. And he's talking and they're talking about how hard he works and how they don't really get to spend much time anymore.
Oh my God, I remember this.
And he said, we're doing this for 5 more years.
Yep,
and we have a very open conversation.
Somebody posted this.
5 more years of working as hard as he's working, and then we're really going to be able to spend time together.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are watching it 8 years later. So I think she made it very clear for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see more of you. I miss us doing things together. And it's just, it was slowly boiling a frog until she's like, fine, I don't care if you're going to stay this busy and you don't care about me and you care so much about the company. I've found happiness elsewhere.
And you know what? I think his wake up call was thinking that his life would potentially stay the same even if they were LOL, quote unquote, figuring it out. And then you hear the kids talking about the fact that all of a sudden he started to get really fucking stressed out at work. Mm-hmm. And I think it's surely it has something to do with the fact that his marriage was falling apart. But I think it has to do with the fact that like his new normal is going to look different without Kyle by his side. Absolutely. It just is. It's just not going to be the same.
I mean, yeah. I think it's going to be very interesting. Some men, you would think you would embrace that and be very excited, but I think he had it really good. I think Kyle was an extremely good wife to him.
Yeah, she
companion,
was.
Companion, mm-hmm. loving. She mm-hmm. was always thinking about him. She cut his toenails on the show.
Oh my God, I don't even remember that. Okay, I blocked
I'll
that
never
out.
Forget
I blocked
it.
That out. Okay.
Anyway, interesting. She was an amazing wife.
And he mentions the fact that he doesn't want to fuck up their dynamic in that final scene with the kids where he's like, I'm going to be cordial. Mm-hmm. This is her business as it is mine. Don't worry that your mom's going to get fucked with any financial stuff. We built this together. He keeps on using the word cordial when talking about like the business, and he's not going to be uncordial. He is very clear eyed and saying that on camera that it's like this, and who knows what will happen mm-hmm. potentially, but I believe him. I genuinely believe him. He's not going to try to fuck with her in that way, which we've seen so many. Lenny Hochstein, this is not the Lenny Hochstein Accord.
Yeah. Nora Ephron quote, never marry somebody that it would be a nightmare to divorce.
And someone told me that. One of my mom's best friends from college just told me that after a breakup with somebody. Yeah.
And I think Mauricio is one of those people that, you know, he's so jovial and positive. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have like a little hate in his heart. He'd be like a happy drunk. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's a safe bet there that he's not going to try to like ruin your life if it doesn't work out between you.
Not to say that he doesn't have a temper.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure he does. But I don't get the feeling from him that he would be hateful to her or vindictive. No. Out of spite, you know what I mean? I think that he would want her to thrive and she would want the same for him.
But he's also going through, I mean, Dancing with the Stars, weird move, this whole Aspen TikTokery.
You know
weird
what?
Move.
He just put up a TikTok. It was less than a week ago. Was he shirtless or just in a tight fitted tee? I can't remember. But he was just doing his little bebops, his little pop dances. So, you know, he picked a relevant current song to it.
Oh my
he
God.
Was with another chap about the same age and physique. So I'm sure he's got gym buddies and he's doing okay. He's traveling, playing golf. He'll be fine.
So we stand on different sides of the Kyle bridge.
Do we though?
I think so. Although how I am with stans. Like, I can't even say that I'm a stan without like laughing, but like there are people who are in my top five, but it does not mean that I am going to be the kind of stan that just like idolizes them and is constantly explaining away their behavior.
No,
I have
you
eyes.
Just give them
the hills have eyes, and so do I.
Benefit of the doubt is what you do, which is so nice. And yeah. I am more always ready to be hurt. So I think that's where we suffer.
We're just two broken
I'm
birds
the
learning how to fly.
Half empty, and you're the glasses half full when it comes to some of these ladies.
Well, or I might be like, that person is really fucking thirsty and I'm pissed at them right now, but I see the glass. Mm-hmm. It's not that I don't see the glass. I see the glass and there might be some water there.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling about Kyle at this moment?
I think she manipulates the show too much. She needs to step back from it. She keeps saying that she wants to take a break and
she
not do
take
this.
Break.
Take a break. Take a break then. Push away from the table. Put the little marionette strings down. Go do something else. It will be fine. This will always be here. Mm. If she's got this postcard in her mind, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Of her kayaking and it's peaceful. She keeps talking about that. Like, I just want to be in the wilderness. I just want to go on hikes. I just want to blah, blah. Simple life. Go do it. Go do it. You can always come back. You know? Because this is exhausting. It's exhausting to watch her have her hands so deep in the sauce and then complain about how stressful the show is. You think? Maybe just be yourself and stop trying to control everything so much.
Well, I think the problem for her is that it's been so stressful for other people in different ways, in magnified ways for several years. And now the magnifying glass is on mm-hmm. her. And it's like, that's
she was
tough.
Stressing before that reunion. I don't think I've ever seen her as nervous. They were closing in on her hand, showing that she was just like fidgety.
So how did you think, what did you think, have we talked about this, about the Dorit text? What did you think about Dorit sharing that text? And what did you think about the text itself?
I think Dorit had to share the text.
Yeah.
That was so manipulative, you know, mm-hmm. It was like if she hadn't shared the text, she really would have been just nothing but a foot soldier for Kyle. Just like,
I guess I'll just keep this between us. And I think Kyle's still talking about it.
She's never going to stop talking about it. She's talking about Sutton hurting her feelings at a dinner 5 years ago or something. It's really getting old, you know? Like, move on. Other things have happened. Every single time Sutton tried to get accountability from her, she would not acknowledge it at all. And she would just change the subject to, you hurt my feelings at that weed dinner. When you asked me a direct question, I didn't like that. Even though I told you, you should just ask me.
I don't know how this would work for Kyle if she did not take a pause. Because I think now there might be just a little bit of an issue with avoiding just duplicating and playing copycat with what we've seen on Netflix. Like, now we know the scene with the kids was just a much quieter version of this extended conversation that you can watch on the Netflix show. Mm-hmm. Now we're seeing that, like, Mauricio does the exact same joke of, like, well, at least you're the one having the fear.
The rumors about you this time.
Now we know that was a copycat one way or the other. Yep. So she's going to have no choice but to go, in the words of her favorite carrot-hating friend, all in. And there's no way around that.
I hate they even had to bring her up.
Maybe. I know. And what she has done to the carrot industry, I mean, writ large.
Is it weird that sometimes when I'm just, like, really enjoying a meal,
I think about Teddy?
I'm serious. And I'm like, golly, I just feel for all the people who are, like, listening to her.
Yeah.
And just, like, licking lettuce for dinner. Don't let that woman tell you what to...
She has no qualifications. But it's none. Like Bethany's TikTok of, like, I taste food.
I chew and I spit it out. And then I know I've had enough. That was the most toxic shit I've seen in such a long time. I thought it was a joke for a minute.
I know. It seemed like a
and
joke.
And then the fact that she was chewing like a mare the whole time. I was like, what is this? Is this real? Am I in a simulation?
She said, like, I taste food, but eat none of it or something. Like, it was like a slogan.
You got to chew it a lot of times.
But you don't eat it. I'm like, ma'am.
It was terrible.
Doesn't she sell food? Shouldn't we be encouraging food? I don't know.
What's really interesting, though, is that, like, she ran that through and she's like, sounds good. And then it came out, you know?
No, and she's fully confident.
This is solid advice. Get a pen and paper. This is really good stuff I'm about to get.
And now she's on tour in Australia.
Oh, for what?
I don't know, because she's not going to talk about Housewives.
Oh, no.
She's not doing...
No, but like...
No! No! I need to know. I Googled Reddit earlier because, you know, I don't understand science.
Okay.
So I Googled, I was like, Bethany Australia tour, because I was looking for anyone who's been to it. And all
there
I could
find
is
someone.
Like,
we will find someone.
We will find one person. But all I could find is like two people in Australia, one of whom didn't hear about it and like lives next to the venue or something and was like, how did I not know this? I'm essentially inside the interior of this space every day. Yeah. And then the other one and they had photos of the tickets available because she looks like she's in.
Is it like a motivational TED Talk?
I
you know, she
think
loves
so,
to talk like that.
Which is all fine and good, but babe, you gotta throw in a little HW. You gotta.
She said she's done with it.
I mean, it sounds like her tour is a lot like her diet. It's like chew a little but eat nothing. Like, babe, we came here to nosh.
Yeah.
We want a meal. We want season 3. We want a little bit of, we want to know your experience. Even,
look,
even talk
honest.
About the reality reckoning.
She can't go cold turkey on this. She starts shaking a chair.
Yeah.
Sweating.
No, she needs a 10-step program.
God, I hope we walk by her one day. We pretend we don't know she's there and we start saying stuff, but it's not correct about old Roni. Just real loud, though, because she'd be dying to correct us.
I would love to have her on the pod. I would actually also love to have Teddy on the pod.
Oh, stop it.
No, I would love it.
I'm not doing this.
Are you kidding? It would be so interesting. I'm dead serious.
Well, she'd start
crying.
And
you know I would be a host. You know I want people to feel comfortable. I'm dead serious.
I know.
I would love to talk about her experiences, her voice, her time at BravoCon, because I was at that taping where she was coming for Vicky Jan 6. Didn't go well. I mean, I would be so curious to hear her thoughts about Sutton, the way she views having her voice, and then maybe some thoughts about, you know, All In and stuff.
Wow.
I would love it. I'm putting that on my vision board. I'm not going to make one.
I'm
but
shocked.
In my head, the vision board inside my spirit.
I'm shocked.
Putting that up. cardboard paper, whatever.
Okay. Well,
you know, those magazines.
It's your hours, you know, spend them how you want to spend them.
I would love it.
Oh,
I don't know that she's down to clown in that way. I keep saying down to clown. I don't know what's happening.
It's a good saying. You know, I don't think that she would ever dare tread beyond her own pond or a friendly pond.
You
know
what I mean? Friendly. She's not up. You're for looking a at me right now. I'm in a robe.
For a challenge. You know what I'm saying? Like, she can't handle a direct question that hasn't been vetted and that she has an answer for, I don't think.
Well, but I mean, she tells us she's very honest. I think she would be, I'm going to think very optimistically. Right?
Is this reverse psychology right now?
No.
Are you smart as a fox?
No. I'm dumb.
I think that she would actually really love a good challenge.
I'm dumb. No, I
in
think.
In fact,
that,
if she would, she no, should DM me.
I think that she is a proud member, genuine. I mean, good for her for being a proud content creator where she's not just like pretending she's not what she is. She's a podcast host. And as a podcast host, we see each other. Like, it is a privilege to be able to do this genuinely and like share my dumb thoughts and have conversations 8 to 16 hours a week. Like, truly, I love to do it. I'm so happy that you're here. I'm happy that we're talking about eating oranges or whatever
anything
it is that we've been
talk
talking
about
for the last 36 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I am extremely here for it. And I think that it would be great for someone who has her entire career, both on the podcast and in her wonderful program, that she's all about accountability. I think that this would be great. This is just a dumb little show, right? This is just a dumb little show.
Exactly.
We just talk about whatever.
Not a big deal.
We would talk about carrots.
You'd have to.
I mean,
no, Sarah, don't even speak of them. Just put them in a jar in the room.
Maybe just a baby
like a bouquet.
One. Maybe I hold one up because it's definitely going to be a
maybe
Zoom.
You just start
like,
eating
is it okay?
One. You just start eating one. And
you
you're
have
like,
this?
I'm thirsty and it's carrot juice.
It's my cheat day. I would love to know Teddy's
you
thoughts.
You take your sweater off and there's a carrot on your shirt.
Like Sutton's like fucking bunny sweater, yes, or whatever. I would love to know Teddy's thoughts on Bethany's thoughts about how to chew but not swallow.
Oh.
Which I choked on a veggie taco, so I know how to do that actually quite
well.
You know,
a toxic off. That could be really interesting.
Wouldn't it be great?
Yeah.
Who do you think is more toxic?
When it comes to just like, ooh, a skinny girl versus carrots. Gosh. Tonight in one corner. You know what? I'm going to say that I think Teddy is more.
It's by
for
mile.
Sure.
It's by
yeah.
mile.
Yeah.
Would love to have her on the podcast. Isn't it good to be number one? I mean, the number of lives that
you
she has
win.
Touched.
Yay! We voted you something.
Oh, God. It would be great. But anyway, so the Australia, so they have like little graphs of this eating chart, but their big venue is probably too big. But she got asked to go to Australia. That's a big fucking deal.
That's amazing. I can't wait to hear what it was about.
I don't know.
Can't wait.
I don't
it's
know.
It's a matter of time.
Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter, which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo. And when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth. And when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions. Just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jill Zarin and your life and mine. Have you been paying any attention to what Rachel's pod has been up to, which Bethany produces?
I can't believe there's an actual pod. And it wasn't just like a limited series of two episodes where we talk about Scandoval and then I go away.
She's going on. She's trying to monetize and God bless her for it. She's now mentioning people and trying to drag them in all this, being like, I don't know if any of these people knew, but I'm going to mention them on the podcast because some of them are close to Ariana and that might fuck her up. So let's just talk about the fact that Logan walked in on me and Tom. It closed and he must have known that we were fucking, so let's drag his name through the mud. I thought the whole thing
guys
was...
make sure you like and subscribe if you like. In the next episode, Rachel's gonna talk about what pants she was wearing when they went on their second date.
And then she goes on Instagram stories and she's talking about how she can't look on social when episodes are dropped for her mental health, which is all fine and good.
Sure, that's all of us.
But that truly, literally. But that I called someone a twat the other day. Did you see that? Sharon Louise. I had a busy
I did see
couple
that.
Days. But I promise it was a lighter touch than what I could have done.
It was kind of harsh.
But she's we just talked about my period. Listen, for like 45 minutes
people
before
come
recording.
At me, people come
don't
at me
come
a little
at
bit
me.
Wrong.
Don't come at me.
When she's about to shed.
Don't come
does
at me.
She shed?
You listen, I have it once a month. It lasts about 3.5 weeks. Then I get ready for the next time.
I know.
So
I know.
Just don't come
every
at me.
Every now and then I think about, some of the poor souls that rub me the wrong way in DM. And I usually am so, I run it through a couple filters first. But some people have got my wrath. It was a long time ago. Oh. I've evolved.
I have evolved. Mm. But you know what? Sometimes that just means I'm more succinct.
Mm.
I can do now in a story what would take a couple more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But anyway, but she was posting on social about like the fact that she can't look at stuff the days that episodes drops because which I is all fine and good. I'm not taking away from that at all. But it's just so interesting that she's doing that the day an episode drops where it's like she's directly trying to attach people to being bad friends of Ariana as if to say that there are more people who are complicit, which I guess is all fine and good, except these people are saying that they didn't know. And she herself is saying she's not sure that they knew, but she just wants to drop some names in, including Ariana's literal best friend.
Look, at this point, it's just digging a dry well for content is what we're seeing happen here. This is just going to keep going on until people just stop clicking and downloading.
But the problem, I think, for Rachel is that you can continue producing content. She has the right to share her story, God knows.
Yeah,
but
forever.
If you're not in touch with any of these people and you've also launched or sent a legal letter or whatever she did, I think it was launched a lawsuit against two of them, you're not going to have a lot of new content to talk about unless you, I guess, include other people into the dynamic. But it's not going to be anybody who had actual, stakes in the game when it comes to knowing the relationships because you're in the friend circle. None of those people she can go anywhere near.
And again, my biggest question is, what are we talking about besides Scandoval?
There's not a lot.
Like, where's this going?
She was not a presence. That was the difficulty when they were, before she decided to leave the show, not for financial reasons, but because she felt like it would be good for her mental health. Before that announcement, her team was really, really actively trying to negotiate a great increase for her, including allegedly a production deal. She wanted to be paid the same as Ariana and Tom. There was a lot going on. And during that kind of negotiation, I think a part of the issue is her name being known, quite literally, Raquel and then Rachel, is all fine and good, but like we didn't know who she was. Ironically, I think the most recent season was the first season where we sort of got to know more about her.
Mm-hmm.
We got to sort of have an understanding of her, and then it all went to shit.
Yeah.
I found my voice.
Yeah.
I mean, a little bit.
Yeah.
But we just didn't know. And now we have, I guess, a continuation of that voice, but with a little bit of a vested interest in like fucking Ariana.
But she'll never be back on Bravo, though.
No, she'll never be back on Bravo.
Like, again, what are we doing here? It's not like she's going to.
I think she's trying to figure it out.
Yeah. All right.
I just don't know if when you're talking about the difficulty of being online because of dealing with hate, which I'm not negating in any way. The fact that you're doing this the day you dropped an episode where you were like, I think that these people deserve to be dragged. I mean, that she knows what she's doing when she says that. She knows that it's going to have an impact. I'm not saying she's looking for or asking for any of these people, but you're introducing names of people and saying, essentially intimating heavily, that they were aware of the affair. And several of them are saying they absolutely were not.
I don't think she cares. Again, I think it's just like, you know,
but her whole platform is like caring and, you know.
Stop it. Are you saying that maybe she doesn't really stand for what she says she stands for?
I mean, welcome to Vanderpump Rules.
Wow. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
That's tough. Yeah. No, I think she's just trying to, you know, fill the air and keep this going for as long as possible. And I don't know. What do you think? What else could she do here to talk about, you know, Scandoval?
I don't know. I mean, I think at one point, when I was initially listening to or watching her interview with Bethany, I think, and we both know, we both have podcasts, they evolve, conversations evolve, this episode has evolved a couple times over, like, God bless, that's the glory of stream of consciousness. But I think her initial idea for the pod was something around, like, maybe talking to people who've also gone through, I thought it was about people who've also gone through public battles, which I actually thought was interesting. I might have made that up in my head.
I feel like that was Monica Lewinsky's podcast when she started it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that Monica had one.
I thought she had a podcast.
I would listen to that.
She had something.
Damn. Okay. Well, I think that that's a, I thought that some sort of, or maybe it was being in a toxic relationship. I can't remember, but it's not what she's doing now, which is focusing heavily on the Scandoval. And how could you not?
I guess.
How could you not chase it? It might not be what her, you know, team has advised her to do, but she also has to make a living. No?
I mean, sure, get it all out. Like, empty the drawer fully.
Yeah, I think the difficulty for her is trying to figure out how to next create, because there is a little bit of a stopgap on this, and there's certainly an expiration date.
Yeah, and look, I remember when I watched, I got caught up with Vanderpump Rules, and I covered the Scandoval, and my impression of her then and still now is, I don't think that this person knows exactly who they are.
Yeah.
I think they followed a formula that got them a lot of praise and attention, the beauty queen formula, but it never really clicked and never really worked out. You know, but it was just this thing she was chasing. Mm-hmm. So the fact that she was aging out of that at 28 or 29, whatever it was, when you can no longer compete for Miss America, that was this pinnacle moment in her life. And she had to just come to grips with, like, this is not going to be it for me. This is not going to be what takes me to some level that I've been waiting for. So then, you know, getting with Sandoval and sort of just doing what he told her to, you know, lying when he wanted her to lie, things like that. Hopefully she's really thinking about, like, what do I want to do with my life? What am I passionate about? So, I don't know. I think if she can move on, that would be a good thing.
Yeah. I think that would probably be a healthy choice. But I also think, I mean, the way that if she's, like, suing Ariana right now because she believes that Ariana participated in the spreading of revenge porn, which Ariana has said repeatedly she did not.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, with some of this and staying with Tom after the fact, I don't know why she's not focusing solely on the man who recorded her without her consent.
Yeah.
I think that's not a great choice.
Yeah, it's really bad. And I wondered to myself, you know, he's on the show, I think, recently saying that he really wanted them to end up together, and he's still wearing the lightning bolts and he's still doing all that stuff. And I'm like, does he really feel that way? Or is he aware of the lawsuit when this was being filmed? I have no idea.
Oh, no, I don't think he was aware of that.
Okay, well.
I mean, I genuinely do not think that they were in touch past the point in which she stopped returning his calls. Like, when they were talking about the fact that the only person who has had any real conversation with her is LVP, and that was like a one and done.
Uh-huh.
I genuinely do not think that they were in touch at any point. But also, obviously, she
wrote letters. Didn't she write letters and Ariana got one?
Yeah, but then at a certain point, it stopped.
Okay.
I think.
I need a timeline.
No?
I don't know.
I don't know. And it's the VPR this season is difficult.
I've heard that.
Have you been watching?
No, I can't, but I watch the highlights.
Okay. The Sheena Lala of it all and the Ariana Katie of it all, it does feel like there is a little bit of a split taking place. And allegedly, word on the street, meaning, recent media tours, there's some sort of like slow boil at the reunion that leads to a throwdown between Ariana and Lala that I think is like Lala's essentially said it's friendship ruining,
wow,
like relationship over.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know exactly who is being pushed out or isolated, or if that's not even like the point of this, that's just the aftermath of it. But it does make me feel a little queasy that a lot of this is happening with Ariana and members of like the female cast.
Yeah.
That's unexpected to me.
Yeah.
It really is.
I don't know why that's happening. I don't like that though. Because it really ended last season and felt like it was a lot of support between the women.
Yeah.
And like they were going to be this united force. And people talked about how wouldn't it be great if they just spun off and had their own thing? Lala, Katie, Ariana, and they just left this whole thing behind of like dragging these tall boys around to do this filming with them. Like, just cut them loose, you know, cut the dead bait and then keep going.
And instead, it's there really is a heavy focus on this forgiveness for Sandoval.
See, this is why I can't watch it.
Arc. It's really, it's a lot of him.
No.
The most recent episode, he sort of stood in a corner so we couldn't see his face as he cried. And
good, cry was, it out. Jeez. Well, like, what are we doing here? You know, like, why would you... I don't understand this. I really don't.
He seems to be surrounded by people who, spoiler alert, want camera time, shocker.
Yeah.
And just enablers. Like Billy Lee just seems to be his number one enabler in a way that just makes me feel very uncomfortable because this woman was in Ariana's life for so long and was like initially saying, I'm such a good friend. So to go to the extent that she's sort of giving a little bit of a side eye when Tom's talking about Ariana at this like fucking pool party. I'm like, how did we get to this point? Like how quickly you seem to lose respect or love for Ariana now that you have a vested professional interest in being on Tom's side.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. That's honestly why I can't watch it. It's just too much coddling of these guys. It's like, okay, we'll just, you know, stand up and own your stuff and move on. These guys are what, 40, 41? I don't even know
anymore.
Yeah,
but everybody is.
Yeah, that's true. But still, just, I don't know. They feel stunted. And then that article, you read the article profile on him, right?
Yeah, the New York Times.
Yeah.
It was excellent.
He was so good.
Yeah. Shout out Arena Alexander, I believe.
These people are just lost in the sauce.
Yeah, and yet that's sort of the basis of the show. So I think that there's a large aspect of the audience saying, how did you not grow up? And Tom saying both I did, but also why would you expect anything more?
Huh. Yeah.
And it's an argument I sort of get. I disagree with everything he seemingly ever done, at least in the last calendar year, but he's saying he's not really saying I was a piece of shit. He's saying just really more generally, everybody else around me is a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. So you can't call me a piece of shit. But there are several pieces of shit. It's maybe bad luck for him that many other people in the cast, ironically enough, the majority of the women, but many other people in the cast did grow up, did learn lessons, did mature. And he just, I mean, Schwartz in his own way, while he's a terrible partner, at least was to Katie, he's seemingly matured more than where he was. You're giving me a look. I'm not saying that he's like God's gift to
husbands, every time I hear Schwartz, I think about the lemon in the armpits. You know, I can't stand him. I just can't stand
him. What's a lemon in the armpits?
Stop. I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, I don't want to know about that. It's like cleaning or something.
He did it on the show.
He like squeezes a lemon on his arm. We don't want to talk about that. That's gross. Boys are gross.
I hate it so much. I hate it so much.
A lot of people do believe in hygiene and we celebrate that.
And then he put it on a plate, on a table. So like somebody walking by could have just been like, lemon.
Well, Joe cut his hair on an episode and then didn't sweep it up and then made a joke about the fact that she didn't want to sweep it. So she cut his hair and then let his hair, human hair, just sit on the floor. It was a lot of hair.
You know what? I'll take the hair over the armpit lemon.
Okay. What a choice. Men, am I right? Oh, you know what I haven't mentioned or discussed at all, but
wait, no, this
tell
is
me.
Important.
Oh, please,
don't
please,
forget
please.
Your thought.
Okay.
But speaking of pieces of shit,
yeah.
Did you watch the docu-series that you said you're going to watch.
I did not watch it.
Damn it!
I was going to. You're going to come back again soon. I was going to, but I got so swept up in buying Beverly Hills. It's not my fault. It was not supposed to be a good show, and I will stand by that for the rest of my life.
I am sad.
We did have an oral friendship contract that I was going to watch Bet on Blonde, and you did tell me it was only two episodes, and instead I watched technically five, but truly the amount of time it took me, eight, because then I kept re-watching family stuff.
Okay.
So I did not watch Bet on Blonde. I would love to have you back for a tip to talk about it.
Okay.
I really would. It's going to be such a special episode.
I was kicking my feet earlier, just imagining you watching it.
I know. I really was going to, but then Mo and Kyle, right, you know, the heartstring, it's just, they pull me in. It's really hard. They just pull me in.
You're a sucker for Kyle. I know. She's your top five.
She's in my top five. Mm-hmm. And it's just, she's not even in the fucking thing. She's in there. But it's just like the family dynamics of it all. I just got swept up.
It's understandable.
It is understandable. Also, potentially understandable or not, depending how you look at it, Anna Marie Wiley is not coming back to Beverly Hills.
Oh, no.
Okay, so this is her statement. She posted it, I don't know, years ago, 3 days ago. She says, I just got word today that I will not be returning to The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. To say that I'm disappointed is an understatement. I never auditioned for this show. The show found me and asked me to be on it out of the blue, 6 weeks after the cast had already started filming. I was thrown into filming 2 weeks later, mid-season. I was very excited about the opportunity, and I thought following exactly what I was instructed to do throughout filming last season was the way the, quote, game was played, end quote. Listening to what I was instructed to do was my rookie mistake. What I'm disappointed about is that the fans never got to see the real me or even a glimpse of my unique life story. Contrary to what was shown on TV, I am not obsessed with the esophagus. LOL. What I am is a woman, a proud Black woman who is truly blessed with a wonderful, strong Black man as my husband who lifts me and our four wonderful children up with so much love and positivity on the daily. It was an important mission of mine for the next season to show a solid Black family unit and that true Black love exists even in Beverly Hills. My struggle with losing my mother to lung cancer within weeks of taping and my struggle with adoption trauma and what was going to be and still will be a new life journey for me to find my biological parents, all of which was taped but never shown last season, among other things. To the fans that saw past what was portrayed and saw the real me, thank you so much for the love and support. I wish all the ladies good luck on the next season, and thank you, Bravo, for the opportunity. As an athlete, challenges only make you stronger and more determined to prosper. I'm excited for the new opportunities ahead that celebrate positivity, truth, authenticity, and the values I truly align with. Until we meet again, thank you, Anna Marie.
What year is it?
It is still 2024.
Oh, God. I blacked out.
Well,
I took a little nap.
I mean, it's tough.
It's a lot. That's a lot.
It's a lot. I don't know.
I think she was probably too heated and she should have waited a day.
I think this is.
Well, she dropped her whole storyline of like, this is everything you didn't see. Here's everything I was going to talk about.
Well, I mean, when else are you going to say this is the time to say there was stuff. She's clearly saying, I mean, I don't think that that's a bad move to be like, I shared personal private things that would have humanized me more effectively or in any way successfully to the audience, and they weren't shown. So like, when you are looking at me as someone who is not anything more than the esophagus, please know that I did film other things. The production just didn't, frankly, want you to see them or didn't feel like it fit within the story.
And I just mean because she's told us that. Like, I forget what the interview was with, but she came out and said, like, all of this stuff. So we knew this. Like, this was not new news to me.
No, we knew about her. We knew about her mom's
and that they showed
passing and that she was shown. I think she said she filmed on camera with her mom telling her she had cancer.
Yes. And so they didn't show that and that she had other things going on. She came in late. And so we knew that. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I think she's the only, how many housewives have admitted to not being asked back? Do we know that?
Not many. Okay. Everybody else is like, I'm stepping away to spend more time with my family.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's always commendable for them to be like, here's how it 100%. Went. You know what I mean?
Teddy did that too. Not to bring it back.
I know.
Trigger warning. Yes. But Teddy did that too. Yeah.
She said that she was annoying or something. I can't remember.
Yeah. I mean, hello.
Yeah. Super, we all have our gifts is what I'd say. So you know what?
Yeah.
Could be a reason for it.
Yep. Yep.
Handy one day.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. You know, Anne Marie. Or is it Anna Marie? Let's leave it a mystery.
But I know it's not a mystery. She's talked about that on the show. And I did message her early into her time on Beverly
Hills. To clarify her name.
She did not respond. But then I was able to get that clarity elsewhere.
Cocky.
Because it's a Dutch. Well, she probably didn't see it. It's a Dutch pronunciation, but it's spelled Anne Marie. It's pronounced Anna Marie.
Okay. You know, I think it was good that the show parted ways. There. And I don't think that we should be casting any more of Kyle's friends. How do you feel about that?
She was never Kyle's friend.
She kind of brought her on. She was like, Kyle brought her on. This is my friend, Anna
Kyle
Marie.
Probably.
We met him.
Yeah. And she might have genuinely recommended her, but I don't see them. I don't think that they were friends in anything other than like a superficial, we live near each other kind of energy.
So, but then Kyle's, you know, doing her jog over to her house.
Yeah.
And she gets her spun up about the esophagus.
Uh-huh.
And then she's attacking about the esophagus several times.
Yeah.
And then Kyle is just sitting next to her, giggling, looking into her compact. Like she, that was her... Her friend, like they were,
she
compadres.
Was her soldier, yeah. But I don't think that they were hanging out. I mean, if Kyle's going to talk about the fact that she and Dorit were like maybe not hanging out as much as people think, I do not think that she and Anna Marie, oh my God, I just fucked it up, that she and Anna Marie were like going to lunch before this happened. I think that maybe they knew each other in some way, but it was relatively superficial, but still Kyle found a way to utilize her and position her and have her, you know, get her sort of primed to ask questions that Kyle would not, unless she was quote unquote making a joke.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But she was too eager, I think, to be somebody's mouthpiece.
Yeah. I mean, if.
And to take on a fight that she was told needed to be. And then to just, you know, the misinformation. I can't get over it.
Yeah, I think that that's a tough thing. I think her going on the after show and like tripling down on the fact that it's sort of, in her words, like just known that Sutton has an eating disorder and that she could have been a great representative for other people is not a great path to continue down.
Yeah. And so what bothers me about her statement is it was so long, but you know, really at the reunion, it was towards the end of a very long road for her to say, you know, did she actually apologize? I can't remember anymore.
Yeah,
I think
she did.
And then, you know, to not bring it up of like, I understand, you know, because the eating disorder, she never really mentions it. She keeps talking about the esophagus, but it was a couple things
you know,
she did, and the gaslighting.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just, oh, I'm obsessed with her esophagus. We don't care if you're obsessed with the body part. It was the fact that you were telling her that she didn't have a condition that she had. It could have been any part of her body.
That's a great
point. Any part of her body. They're getting away with this like, oh, it's so funny to talk about the esophagus because it's a long word, but could have been anything. The issue was medical gaslighting from a medical professional on a show. So... And she's come out, I think, and said that she, like, no, but we are doctors. So that's the whole thing back and forth still.
Well, I think she said that the training is sort of the same, which I don't want to get into.
No, I can't.
Because I'm not a nurse or a doctor. I just play one on TV. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just not my journey. Mm-hmm. But I think the difficulty for Anna Marie was that she did not have any true friendships on that show.
Yeah, I mean... Look, for
no
anybody,
one was going to stand up
for any future Real Housewife who's listening, if you go on a show and the incumbent longstanding OG housewife, your first season has you queued up to just start fighting with people, you're being used. Don't do it. Don't take the bait.
Don't you think that happened a little bit, though, with Dorit when she first started?
Who had her fighting who? I can't remember.
I think LVP, no? It was like a little, the Dorit stuff with Erica and whatever else was happening, that she came in a little hot in a way that was unnecessary, but she also got dragged for it. So
yeah, she got dragged for it. She, and then she and LVP fell out.
Right. So that But she was able to kind of like hang in with Anne Marie. But Dorit had friendships that she was able to develop and friendships that she had going in.
Yeah, they told us, you know, that she and Lisa Vanderpump had known each other for years. It was the British sense of humor.
Right. And also the fact that there were stakes because LVP would reference PK and why she didn't want to fall out with Dorit.
Yeah.
Like, because exactly. LVP had more invested in her relationship with PK than she had with Dorit. With Anne Marie, it's just like, this didn't work. You took on, she ran with a lot of it.
She really did. Hard for people.
And it was not pleasant television in the way that television can often be unpleasant, but it just felt like we couldn't get past this point. And it was so confusing because it's about someone's physical health condition that's not necessarily something to challenge a person about, let alone because you're being told information by Kyle. Like, that's not like the good book, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just a person attempting to get you to do things on their behalf, and you just were too effective at it.
Yeah. And then especially when it comes to somebody's medical condition, like if I was just making new friends going on to a show and this woman was like, and she whatever, and we don't even know if she has this thing with her throat, I'd be like, you want me to talk about somebody's body and an issue that they deal with?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me right now? No, that's nobody's business.
Yeah. And I
don't know why these basic human things, especially to somebody working in the medical field, all of a sudden it's like, yeah, that's content. Let's go pick on her about that.
Well, I also think the timing of allegations coming out about her husband probably ensured that we were not going to be getting a lot of scenes of her in her family life, just because of, I mean, I'm not saying just because in terms of minimizing it. I'm just saying, like, literally, I think that was a factor.
Maybe.
And if there was a scaling back that happened after that, or maybe it was just a decision that production made of like, it just doesn't fit at this point. And I don't have an answer for it, but neither did Anna Marie. That's the problem at the end of the day. It just like, she just, it did not work. She just did not work on this. And I think she would probably agree with that.
Yeah. You know what I said on my pod was this, like, you know, she could always be part of some Island of Misfit Toys, Ultimate Girls Trip, the one and done's, you know,
in five years, 10 years. Oh my God.
Yeah, it would be horrible. And I would watch it. It would be absolute trash. I don't even know what disgusting, shameless behavior, you know,
that would be
of them
really
just
tough.
Trying to that out would be drama really, each other.
That would be awful.
It would be.
Do you think that Girls Trip is going to come back?
You know, it's a hit and miss, right? Like, it all depends on how the crew that they pick gels. And that's why I think, like, that's the most important thing, is considering all the personalities. And yeah, I mean, we've seen some funny ones, but who knows?
Well, I also think, I don't know that they can, I mean, they can do whatever the fuck they want, although there are consequences, but I don't think that they might be interested in filming one until they figure out Morocco and all of the legal implications there. But they might. I mean, I don't know. I could be I could be talking entirely out of my ass. They could be readying another Girls Trip to go up. That's entirely possible. I just don't know. They certainly couldn't release one, I would think, until figuring out what was going on with Morocco, which I would assume that they are going to announce sooner than not. I don't know how long you can push making this decision of whether or not it's going to go on the schedule.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever see it. I really don't. And I think people are most upset because they've heard that, or I've heard anyway, that Alex McCord was just like a great, you know.
Was she?
Yeah. She had good moments. And I forget which, is she a therapist now?
She's a psychologist. Yeah. And so Simon's a barrister, I think.
How interesting.
I know.
How interesting.
Good for them,
good
honestly.
For them. Yeah.
They really were the butt of so many jokes. And
they were, but you know what?
In the best way, they were.
Yes, it was.
It was deserved.
And they're good sports about it.
Yeah, they really always were. Yeah.
They are a template for what kind of personality you need to have to go on this show, especially as a couple. The uptight people, the people who cannot immediately laugh at themselves and appreciate being, you know, having somebody poke fun at you, good fun or whatever. Those people, I think, have a hard time and they make it miserable for everybody else. So I like them. They're great.
I mean, who would have thought that they would have, I mean, had this kind of sort of turnaround. But I would assume the response would be a lot of people would have thought that.
Yeah, they were always likable. They weren't problematic in any way. They were just goofy.
They were just desperate.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
And so I don't know that she will. I mean, and she traveled over a day. Did she not? It was a long fucking flight.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll see Alex back in some other capacity. Maybe she'll come back on a Watch What Happens Live.
You never
know. I know that's not the same thing, but I think the difficulty for people to kind of reckon with is like she's been off camera for so long. She has an already very full life.
Yeah,
she and Simon do, and they live in like literal Australia. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, you know what I just realized? Bethany's going on this tour, but she can't talk about Housewives. How incredible would it have been for her
but
to record?
But can't she?
To record with Alex McCord while she was in Australia.
If I was
that
Alex,
would have been an episode.
I would go sit in the front row and just stare at her and just be like, not going to talk about it. I'm not going to acknowledge me here.
Can you imagine? Alex is, but she's too mature for that.
I know. She's got things to do.
I mean, she is someone who has seemingly made it her life's work to understand. And I'm just, you know, fucking talking cheese puffs or whatever, and she's a goddamn psychologist. I mean,
yeah,
she has really made it her life's work to help support people and help them potentially better understand themselves. Who better to have back on Housewives in some capacity, especially with so many people who are just completely out to lunch?
Yeah, it'll be great. It'll be great. May I think we will. I think we'll see her again.
I don't know that we will. Also, if that was her, everyone on that show is going to have their own experience.
That's true. They might be done with it.
She might feel like this is not.
We don't know. What
I
happened.
Did not know that this would be a risk I was taking.
Mm-hmm.
In
you try to come back.
You shouldn't. You shouldn't have
to. You're
going to
have a good time. You get on the show,
and
it's madness.
Yeah,
and it's inappropriate. Yeah,
I wonder what conversations she is having with production, if at all.
I wonder too.
And I wonder who she's stayed in touch with from the show, if at all.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you. It is a little bit of a to be continued, but I do wish that they would figure something
to
fuck
reminds
out
me of,
and
this
just
this
let
me,
us know.
This reminds me of when they decided they were just not going to have a reunion after the last OG season of New York.
Don't even get
and
me started.
Months,
don't get me started.
And months, all of us were just like, when are they going to tape the reunion? It was the weirdest thing, and they never really would address it. And then finally one day, there's like, we're never going to tape it.
They said it was scheduling issues.
Uh-huh.
And then later said it was because the cast truly hated each other so much that they couldn't figure it out.
So weird things happen, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it is, I think, one of those dynamics where there's just, because we're heading into this sort of absence of Housewives content, this could have been a thing to fill a little bit of that, but there's an obvious reason why that very possibly will not happen and should not is my argument for it. But who knows? I mean, it is this kind of new chapter of Housewives, especially when it comes to like Bravo Lebs and litigation too. That
so many lawsuits.
Yeah, even if it airs or doesn't air, it doesn't mean this stuff is going away, and it might actually ramp some of it up.
Yeah,
and that has long-standing effects for production and the network of what kind of environments are we creating to produce drama, and how are we looking at casting. And when you talk about someone joining the show who you've known before, there's a certain level of toxicity that they're absolutely looking for. So is that going to change anything? Is an environment of binge drinking, is that going to change and evolve in any way? And what's the audience's reaction to that?
Yeah.
Maybe you won't note a difference, but that doesn't mean some sort of effort hasn't gone on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think everybody's on their best behavior. It's like this past BravoCon. It definitely felt, you know, with the moderators and everything, that everybody was just very mindful.
Yeah.
We're all being mindful.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens with all of that. I mean, it is genuinely, it's sort of a question that will continue, and there will be some active participants in it. It's just like, and I think the Bravo community will continue to be somewhat split.
Yeah.
But I mean, LOL, normalize changing your mind based on new information. To a certain extent, it's just about getting updated information on all of this, including what the fuck they're going to do with kind of like their next act, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A total to be continued.
It really is.
BBDB, this was such a pleasure, such a joy. Thanks so much for coming on with your 16 beverages.
You're so welcome. Have you seen Roadhouse, the remake?
No, with Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yes.
No, I haven't.
You haven't watched any of the things that I have watched.
What? Tell me what you have watched.
Roadhouse.
Wonderful. Anything else?
Bet it all on blonde.
Yep. So sorry about that.
That's okay.
And I was a blonde. You just couldn't bet on.
I didn't.
Don't bet on me. But you'll come back. Literally, we can do that like next weekend. Maybe
we'll do a tip.
We'll do a tip about bet on blonde. Anything else?
Dune. Did you go see the theaters?
I'm never gonna fuck with a sandworm. Absolutely not.
You're missing out.
I watched 2 minutes, maybe the first one with my brother, and I was like, "This is gross. It's so." I'm sorry.
Are we talking about the same one?
Are we talking about sand? Number one. Yeah, they're like sandworms. Are they not? They're like sand creatures.
Yes.
I don't want to see that. It's like it gave me kind of a version of, and I know this is like a fantastic, highly regarded movie, but like Mad Max, the Charlize Theron, because it was just creeped me out. I just got creeped out. It freaks me out. I get nervous.
Well, I mean, you can tell when they're coming, and you can avoid them.
The sandworms.
Yes. You got to learn the special walk and you'll be fine.
No, I did Wikipedia it because I wanted to understand the second part. And I was like, I don't like this. Like, I think they're like riding on worms or something.
They absolutely are riding on worms, like dragons.
Are you being serious? Is it like the Neverending Story?
Dead serious right now.
I mean, that might be titled that. I don't want to fuck with a worm or sand. Put those together. That's a terrible combination.
Yeah, true.
What else have you seen? So you've seen Jake Gyllenhaal. Well, now I want to know,
have you ever seen Tremors?
Yeah, I have. That's the one where the ground opens up and like an alien pops out.
Yeah, it's like a sandworm again.
Was it a sandworm?
Yeah.
It was from the 80s, was it not? It was on late at night on USA.
Like it's 90s. I feel like it's 90s.
Okay, I remember it one time when I was too little. It's a Kevin Bacon, USA.
It's a great Kevin Bacon flick.
I don't think it's that great. I think that was scary.
It's hilarious.
I think that's what
it's
started.
So
I don't think
Reba
it was scary.
Reba McEntire's in it. A single mom works two jobs. She's so good at it.
I saw it when I was way too young. Like, all right. Arnold Schwarzenegger content, even though he was the light of my life. Like, I saw
Predator?
Terminator.
You like Predator?
Terminator, way too young.
Oh.
Way too young.
Got it.
And I was entranced.
I bet you were. He's squatting naked, shows up in the sphere.
What else have you seen? Any recommendations aside from weird fucking sandworms?
Oh, it's so good, though.
No, it's not good at
Bene
all.
Bene Gesserit. Okay,
what?
Fine. Forget it.
No, absolutely no, not. Fan. But I'm also not like a
you'd
Lord
be
of the Rings gal.
You'd be
Rings
a Benny Stan.
A what?
A Benny.
Which one of us is I? Which one of us is I? What else have you seen? What can you recommend that's not fucking weird?
What? I just named two really good movies and you haven't seen either one.
Is, what's the Roadhouse one? Is
it's
that
right now on Amazon
Prime.
Is it Prime.
Supposed to be, is it funny?
No.
Oh, why did I think it was a comedy? I'm not even joking.
It is the opposite of a comedy.
Are you serious?
It is a no laughy. You will
but
not
I
laugh.
I saw a brief clip of Jake with somebody. I thought they were laughing. Maybe that was an outtake
now that I'm thinking about it.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that would be fun if it was a comedy. It was not. No.
Huh. All right. Well, good for him. He's coming back to Broadway, a place that I don't know that you care about, but I care about tremendously, with Denzel Washington and Othello.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. And Denzel Washington.
It's a great play.
When I was, oh my God, what was it that he was on Broadway in? Oh God, I don't remember. I'm going to say Fences, but I know that that's a lie.
You know that I love to go to the Broadway.
Oh, we could go to that. Okay. Well, I don't know what tickets are going to be like, but I remember.
I like to be close enough that I can like see their pores.
Well, I remember going to a show when I was an intern in PR at what ended up being a huge flop, failed progressive radio network that was trying to, is this stuff I should be sharing? I think it's fine. I was trying to poach him for a campaign. Turns out the campaign was like very bad. Involved other stuff that we're not going to get into. It was like, I didn't know about any of this. I was just like a little sprite. I was like, hey. And anyway, so they went to the stage door because like somebody had some sort of like connection to him or something. And they were able to do a very, very soft pitch because he stays at this point, at least he stays at the stage door until every single person gets an autograph.
Who is this now?
Denzel, because he remembers when he was a kid and he went to the stage door or something and wasn't able to get the autograph. So this is, I mean, Denzel Washington has been a superstar, one of the most famous actors alive for many, many years. So this is at the height of his career, but I think every year has been at the height of his career. I'm obsessed with Denzel. And the fact that he stood outside the stage door, truly, I think I was talking to his driver about it, honestly, and signs autograph for, I just thought that was like one of the classiest class moves that a person could take. I don't know if that has shifted at any point. I do think COVID has a big impact on that. But
Jessica Chastain did it too, I believe.
I totally believe it.
So they're the opposite of J-Lo in that way.
I did an event with J-Lo and had a wonderful time.
You need to make a TikTok about it tonight.
Absolutely not.
You don't know. This woman's getting dragged right now on TikTok.
No, why? You know I'm not on it.
Oh, I don't even know where to begin. For anybody out there who is a TikToker, you know exactly what I'm talking about right now. It's like, how do I even read you into this?
I don't know anything about it. I had a great experience with her and with A-Rod, and they were actually easier to work with than some other people I was working with.
I'm going to start from the top.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you anything important, though.
Eye contact with you.
100%.
And she spoke with you.
Absolutely.
She didn't order you around or anything?
Not even a little bit. And it would have been inappropriate for her too.
Okay. She didn't tell her security to talk to you instead of her.
No, I flirted with her security and we kept things going for a hot second after. Nothing inappropriate, but he was very attractive.
Okay. Can you say what the event was?
I don't really feel like it, but it was a weekend of events that I produced at a pretty high level.
So it wasn't just for her. She was a guest at the event.
She was a guest at the event. A-Rod had a larger role in it through the weekend.
Okay.
And was also easy to work with. And this is the thing that any event producer who's listening to this can know, that sometimes, especially if you are very, very much on your shit, and if I'm producing an event, you better believe I know exactly, because I have... You know this.
Iron Fist.
Spent months and months and months and months on that run of show and telling clients who might not be hearing what they want. I will tell you exactly what is going to happen and what is a bad idea. And you can listen to my advice or not.
So it's the best part. I love being right.
100%.
I was like, well, I flagged this.
I did.
I flagged that, but Susan.
It's interesting how short-term memory works when you're dealing
with... writing.
When you're dealing with certain
summary
men.
Email.
It's funny how that... tends to happen, but anyway, but they, it's oftentimes it's not the celebs, because also their teams are so on their shit that it's, nobody is going to allow this to be anything else but seamless. So if I'm on my shit and their team is on their shit, we're not going to get any further than that, but yeah.
Okay.
She could not have been more professional.
That is a wonderful thing to hear.
Yeah.
Because right now people are sharing stories on TikTok.
I'm not denying other people's experiences. I am also not on TikTok.
Yeah.
So I don't even know what any of that is. But I had a perfectly normal experience with her.
That's nice.
Then, and frankly, when you're dealing with celebrities, if you're dealing with people who are, and again, you're giving me eyes. So like, I can't even look at you in the eye because I can feel what stories you're about to tell me when we're going to get off, which is in just a couple seconds. But I think that for many people, shut up, I'm getting out of this. Digging myself out of this. Dig, dig, dig. I've also done strategic comms.
You can
digging out it. Just digging out. That often when you're that successful, it's like, again, the world around you is operating in such a way to make stuff be streamlined. Mm-hmm. And then there are people who you would think would be on their shit, who have more of a vested interest in being on their shit than I would. But you know what? It's also the world of consulting, too. It's all word of mouth. So it's like... I've worked with so many different high-profile people because you can depend on me.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
That's where it all comes down to.
I like shoes. So you know what? I got my own investments in this game. And it's usually a bright-colored Dorsey heel because I want to show out. So
I don't know how you do it.
It's Legends Ball energy. You know, you guys are in like a muted color or black, and then I come in fucking fire engine red. But that's also strategic reasons. You can spot me if you need me during a cocktail or something else. Well, I'm really excited for you to tell me what wonderful experiences. Did you watch her Amazon show?
Who's
the Amazon special? I am me. I am who I am.
Oh, Lord. No, I did not. But I saw some really interesting looking clips.
Okay. She invested $20 million, but I'm sure she got paid a nice check.
I heard that, but
for Amazon.
Mud is expensive. Have you watched it?
I did watch I did watch a nice chunk of it and talked about it with my editor, the Daily Beast, Kevin Fallon, on Patreon.
Have you watched the outtakes? Because it's not just the show. She then does a docuseries of herself making the show.
Okay, so I heard the docuseries was great.
I can't wait to watch it.
I need to watch it.
We should watch it right now.
Do you want to watch it right now?
Let's go watch it right now.
We're going
to... Oh my God, I'm actually really excited.
No, like we're literally going to watch it right now.
I can't wait.
BBDB, tell the AGs where to follow you on social and your favorite J-Lo song.
Oh my God. I loved J-Lo back in the day. You don't even know.
I still love her.
I had the big hoops. I had the pink juicy jumpsuit.
Oh my God. Did you, what? Because I was thinking about this actually the other day. Did you have, cotton or terry? No, wait. Is that
velour.
The same thing? That's what I
velour.
Meant. Did you have cotton or velour?
What J-Lo had. Yeah,
I had black cotton and then pink velour.
Nice pink velour. God, I'll find mine if you can find yours.
Oh, I threw it away. I lit it on fire years ago. Are you kidding?
I have it somewhere.
Okay, tell me whatever is happening. High and low.
High and low podcast. Like and subscribe. Check it out. Yeah, my last one, I was asking you about that stuff because my last pod was about Roadhouse.
Carrots. Oh.
Always carrots. Roadhouse. Mm-hmm. I did a dive on the Hermes lawsuit. I don't know if you heard about that.
I did hear about it.
As a cow stand, you should. Yes, absolutely. Good for you.
Yeah.
And then...
Not a bad person. It's not my forte.
Yeah.
Shoes are my world.
I don't like having something on me that somebody could slap me and take it. And it's worth a lot of money.
Oh, I'm fine with that. But...
It's not insured. It's just gone if someone takes it. Can you insure a bag?
Why can't you?
I don't know.
You certainly, it's a
depreciation. You bump into a wall.
It's not about the value of it on the market. It's about if you have documentation of the price you paid and getting it. I don't know if you need to get it appraised before. It depends on the retail of the bag, I guess. But
I bought one bag.
It's in your personal collectibles.
One
part of your insurance.
One time in my life that was an expensive designer bag.
Yeah.
And I took it out and I was so happy and a bird shit on it the same day I bought it.
Did it add fun texture?
It did not.
All right. What color was the bag?
It was cognac leather.
What kind of bag was it?
It was a fucking Fendi spy bag because J-Lo had it.
Wow. So she's getting blamed for a
lot
today.
That was the first and last
pricey
bag I ever bought.
I accidentally threw out a Louis Vuitton Alma and I was a live-in nanny to a hyper-profile family.
How do you throw it out?
Because my apartment building, this is literally 10 years ago, had a little bed bug issue when all of New York City had it. There was an elderly woman who has since, may her memory be a blessing, had an infestation that spread to other floors. So we were just throwing out stuff, but also keeping stuff in garbage bags for when an exterminator came. And my landlord, by the way, an angel, like went through and like hired the best in the city and spent and did the right thing. We were very, very fortunate in that. But we had a very, very difficult and very stressful couple weeks. And so we were putting things in garbage bags and tying
the wrong
them. And I think I took the wrong bag. Oh, I think God. I threw it out instead of trash. And then I realized it when I was back at a live-in nanny because this
just
happened during the day.
Cold chill run through your body.
And then I was like, let me be wrong, let me be wrong, let me be wrong. And the trash had already been picked up and bye-bye Alma.
God,
I mean,
what a waste.
Now she's worth a couple dollars more than what I paid for her because I had
a shame.
Nice little discount. So what's your favorite J-Lo song?
Oh God, on anything from On the Six. Just now,
On
the Six.
Such a cheater answer. Of course it's going to be On the Six.
Okay, then I would say Waiting for Tonight.
Oh, you would be here in my arms, waiting for tonight.
Oh, I can't really. I can't do it. I don't want to do it right now because I haven't warmed up. So that was a wonderful. I'm so thankful to you for being vulnerable and sharing that.
You're welcome.
Decision. And speaking of vulnerability, I'm going to be vulnerable right now and say it's my birthday this week. And I am freaking out about it a little bit because I get weird anxiety on my birthday of like I'm supposed to feel good. And then I just get FOMO of feeling good and stressing out. And like, does anyone like me in the world? Are there three people? So that is on Wednesday. It's a big birthday. Again, turning spiritually mid-20s plus.
Absolutely.
And so I was looking at a necklace, but I don't think that's going to happen. And then I was like looking at a ring, but I don't think anything should happen because then I was seeing how much money I spent when I was abroad. And I was like, oh, that's a real kick in the ass. But there is a ring that I was looking at, 1920s, okay. Art Deco moment. And while you were en route, when I was rewatching Buying Beverly Hills for the 16th time, I looked at one of the scenes that has Kyle in it and I gasped. I gasped out loud. I said, oh! And I realized that my ring is my version. Nowhere near, like, forget the middle diamond. It's not the same at all. It's literally not the same, but the structure of it, maybe, a little similar to Kyle's. The one she always wears, it was her mother's. Yeah. And I gasped and I said, oh my God, this is going to make me closer to Kyle.
Oh.
So that might be the way that I think it's a, you know, I support her, you know, so in supporting her, I should get this ring. I think I might call it the Kyle.
Okay.
So I don't know that that's actually going to happen. And I'm probably going to be crying at least once on my actual day because I get freaked out.
Yeah. You know what? Let it out.
Yeah.
Let it out. Feel the feels.
Well, I just think there's this whole thing around, I mean, it's like the holidays of like Christmas and Valentine's, and then for people for many different reasons, Mother's Day, Father's Day, mm-hmm. and just for me and my birthday. And then it's like, where am I in my life? Like, what are the milestones that I have achieved that I have not? Like, it's just, it all comes kind of fucking crashing down. And then I'm like, should I have people over? But who's going to come? Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah,
but
no, I don't do that anymore.
Well,
yeah.
I'm doing two dinners at Palma, one with my mom, one with three of my like very, very, very favorite people in the world. That I'm also doing a dinner on actual birthday night with another one of my favorite people in the world. And then I think there's maybe one more thing, but I forget about it. And then I was thinking of having a couple friends over mm-hmm. to cut into a gluten-free vegan cake because I did it last year and it was so fucking delicious. Oh. Shout out Clementine Bakery in Brooklyn. It was do you like how I was wrapping this episode 15 minutes ago? It was this is your fault.
No, but this is what we do and I like it.
So do I. And it's Clementine Bakery in Brooklyn, a vegan bakery, but they also have some savory stuff. They are so lovely. Every time I've been in there, I'm like, I could stay here forever. And so I would do, because I just love a personalized cake. Last year's cake had in frosting, happy birthday, like my one true love your boyfriend Pedro Pascal.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Yeah, so that was adorable.
But then I'm like, what's the minimum of people that I need to have over without having a meltdown and to normalize ordering a cake?
Look, just order
a cake. It's the smallest cake.
You can always order a cake, even if it's just you. But let me just say also,
that's depressing.
Really?
Oh. I don't think that that's indulgent.
I used to get an ice cream cake.
No, and then
I would just walk around with it, and I would just like on campus and be like, "Who wants some ice cream?"
It's melting fast.
I would just be like, "I have spoons. No, I got a pocket full of spoons."
I think whatever people want to do, but I just think for my personal journey in life, that would stress me out.
All right.
I know myself. I need to be surrounded by, it's like I have, especially on my birthday, it's a Tinkerbell situation.
Oh.
I really do. Not that I need applause, but I mean, hello, join the Patreon. I just really do like being around people's energy. And on my birthday when I'm like a little extra sensitive.
Then you should plan something.
Right. Know? Like a couple people maybe.
Yeah. The people who spark joy.
Fucking Easter. I mean, shout out, you know. It's a wonderful, important holiday, but like my birthday's on Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
so I can't do Saturday, Sunday because that's Easter weekend.
Mm. No, I think just embrace
it. She has risen.
Embrace it. Put on some pastels.
I do every day. You're in the office.
I love a pastel.
I love a pastel. I love a jewel tone. I love a monochromatic.
I love it all.
I love it all.
So yeah, I think just lean into it.
Okay, so maybe I'll do it the weekend after so I can stretch it out a little bit, maybe?
If you want to, but I think it's really fun.
I really did do a light text.
The commercialized version, I love it.
I did a soft avail to like a couple people, like 10 people earlier tonight, and everybody is like doing something for fucking Easter.
That's weird.
I know.
Yeah.
But
because like, you know, what are you doing? Are they dying eggs?
No, I think people have wonderful places to be with their families or whatever.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So happy Easter.
Thank you. I do love it. That's what I do. I dye eggs. And I get really into trying to get as strong of a color I can with just using vegetables.
Well, I don't want to, you know, trigger myself, I guess. But when I was young Jewish girl, all I fucking wanted was to paint an Easter egg. And Toby Galley, also known as the Tobes, was like, you can paint one of those fucking eggs, but then you're going to have to eat it. And then she made me eat the egg. I think that put me off of hard-boiled eggs for years to come. I don't want to eat a purple egg. It was so gross.
I hate this person for what they've done to
my mother.
I thought you were being bullied by another child.
Well, I mean, when you look at it, you're not wrong.
I thought you were like painting an egg or dyeing an egg, and little kid next to you was like, now you have to eat
it. Tobes made me eat me, fucking eat it. And I was like, can't I just decorate it and waste this food? Like, come on, isn't that
something?
That's funny. It was not delicious.
Oh my gosh. Just a plain boiled egg with nothing on it? That is a bit of a crime. No salt and pepper. She didn't turn it into deviled eggs.
I just remember it was not, the eggs are not supposed to be eaten when they're pink.
Have you had a deviled egg?
Not once in my life. We've had this conversation.
I know we have.
I have food. I have dietary restrictions, really, but I'm also genuinely picky. I don't think I would like it.
But if I made deviled eggs,
I don't think I would like it. I don't think I would like it.
Well, now you got a mental wall there. So we would just start with like a tiny little bite.
What is it? What's on it? Paprika.
It's not going to sound good if I.
I don't want to know. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. But you're not gonna get me to have it until I know what's in it.
Totally.
But I don't want to know.
It's just mayonnaise.
No. The problem with that is when I was little, I had a fear of sandwiches, okay, which continues in large part to this
Understandable,
day.
Understandable, I guess.
And my grandma
to be afraid of the most delicious thing.
No, my grandma made me a bologna sandwich when I was a child, and I was like, no. And she said, I added extra mayo, so it'll be better. And she said, there are children that would give your left eye to eat this. And I was like, well, you can send it to them. And she got so upset at me. It was like a whole thing. And I, Italian Catholic grandmother, and yeah, I was like, fuck no, ma'am. Like, babe, it's not going to goddamn happen. So I think I maybe insisted on SpaghettiOs.
I love some extra mayo on my bologna sandwiches.
Would never, none of
that.
My
tummy,
absolutely not. We're going to get into it. This is the new Kyle. It's like, to mayo or not to mayo. Absolutely
not. Did she put mustard on it?
No, it was just a thick,
that's a shame,
disgusting,
nope.
All right,
well,
with bologna, which I've been a vegetarian for so long, I don't even know what that tastes like, but I'm sure it was not the texture I was looking for at that young age, and like white bread.
That sounds really good.
It was a dark, dark moment in my life, and I couldn't do it. And
no joke, I do love, like trash food from my youth. So bologna sandwich could
I
turn
love
my head.
Trash food every day, but that's not the texture, the energy, I love the top of the pyramid, but like that is not, and the pyramid is no longer a thing, right?
No,
they
it was
like
all
a
wash.
Now.
It was all a wash. Yeah, just
God,
no.
Fucking circle or
whatever.
You don't
lean that hard on the breads.
Well, you know what? When you chew food, taste it, okay? That's mm-hmm. That's the goal that we all have in life.
Never have all of something. Just one bite's enough.
When she was like, if I want to go out somewhere, I just don't eat.
I just
like,
don't eat beforehand. But it's not a problem. It's just
but she's
it's
saying
just,
it to instruct people. It's not that she's sharing her experience. She's
here's what you do.
She's saying
here's
it to
what you
instruct
do.
People.
It's super easy.
If I could get Bethany Frankel and or Teddy Joe on this podcast to just have a friendly conversation. Oh my God, the magic that would happen.
Would be.
Listen, thanks so much for coming on.
It was fun.
We talked about Housewives for about 3 minutes and mayonnaise for 47, and that does sound like Andy's girls, and so I'm here for it. Also, my birthday, you know who else was born that day?
Who?
Another icon.
Who?
Victoria Gumbelson.
Really?
Shannon Bedore, born like 2 days before or a day before.
What's Shannon's birthday?
I want to say it's March 26th. I'm the 27th. It's me, Vicky Gumbelson, and Mariah goddamn Carey.
Wow.
Three angels sent from heaven above. Me, Vicky, and Mariah. Just some light, passive personalities.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon Bedore, let's just see before we wrap this really informative.
Yeah, what is Shannon's birthday?
I do think it's the 26th. It's in fact the 25th. I apologize.
You know what's crazy?
She's turning 60. Triple 20.
Wow, that's a big milestone.
It is a big milestone. March 25th.
You should send her a message.
A holy day. I send her one every day.
You saw the drama about, I saw something
today. I recorded
today.
A podcast about it.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, of course you did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well.
When life gives you lemons,
mm-hmm.
stop dating them.
That's right. That's good. That's solid advice.
What a piece of shit that man mm-hmm. is.
I could have told you that. He's got the face of a supervillain.
He does.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What was she doing?
I think she was trying to make love happen.
And he's got two names, just like a villain would. John Jansen. She never just called him John. John Jansen.
No, but I'm not going to hold that against him, because John Jansen, you don't want to just be John. You should be John Jansen.
Okay.
That's fun. I mean, as Sarah Galley, whose friends call me Galley or Sarah Galley.
Yeah, but the person you're
one
dating.
One of the better things about me,
the person
honestly.
You're dating to call you your first and last name.
I would not be against that. I think that's kind of endearing.
Okay.
All right, on that note, let's go watch J-Lo on the 6th. Thanks, guys, for listening to this very normal episode. And we will chat with you soon. What, did I miss anything? I don't know. Okay, bye.